You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Right now, you can lease a 2017 Blue Cruise from only $138 bi-weekly at Lakewood Chev.
Go down to Nashville with the Rashog Report, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton. Cars you love at prices you cannot resist. Visit them online at autocityedmonton.com. Joining us from outside Tootsie's Bar and Grill in Nashville, we bring in Ryan Rashog from TSN. Shogger, before we get to what's going on the ice, I don't know if you know this, Gregor's actually had kidney stones this week. Has he given you update on how he's passed these bad boys yet?
No, I did not know that was happening.
Yeah, he didn't honestly want us to talk about it, but what do you think we're going to do? He would talk about it. So he passed the first one, I believe it was Tuesday, I checked in, and then he didn't know, but there's apparently twins. He had to go get another checkup. There's a second one. And as of this morning, he had not passed it. So he's hoping that it passes by Monday, or, you know, who knows? He might have to take Monday off as well. Because I've never done it myself, but he said it felt like quite painful.
Yeah. Well, you hear the horror stories from the people that have had to go through it. Wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. And that's a tough go for him. I have a hard time finding a way to make fun of him. I just feel pity for him at this point. So get well soon, buddy. I won't go so far as to say that everyone misses him, but I don't think anyone would wish that on him.
Ryan, are we any closer to know who's going to start in goal for the Predators tomorrow?
Well, I think Pecorini is going to start. I mean, Laviolette's not going to say. Even Pecorini today wasn't going to say. But, I mean, the questions – he was funny today. The questions he was answering, I mean, it was kind of – you know, the people – like, they asked if he was going to play, and he said, he's not going to say, and that he does know, and that, you know. And then as the questions continued, I think one of the other reporters asked him something about if his teammates have helped him kind of, you know, stay up the last few days and stuff and kind of feel better. And he goes, man, like we're kind of talking like somebody died here or something, you know, like all these questions are feeling like there's like some sort of mourning period. So he tried to keep it light today. And I would be really surprised, you guys, if he didn't start. I mean, as we talked about yesterday, the numbers all point to his home game prowess, 21 wins there this year during the regular season out of his 31 wins, and been dominant there in the playoffs. So I'd be really surprised if he didn't start. I think going with the other guy at this point would look a little bit like a sign of panic from his head coach. And I don't think Laviolette's got that kind of panic in him.
What about PK Subban? He doubles down on his prediction of winning game three. And, you know, and I give the guy credit. You know, I've had my issues with PK, but I actually agree with him. I think they will win. And I like that someone's actually come out and saying that, because I think it's important for not only perhaps the media, the fans, but for his teammates in that room to know that he is confident.
Yeah, I mean, and Subban's, I mean, he's usually pretty upfront with the media. And the way it first came out is, it's not like he was like, hey, everybody gather around, we will win, and like tried to make some big statement. I mean, he was asked a question about regrouping and basically said, we'll regroup, we'll head home, we're going to win game three and move on from there. You know, like it was a pretty casual statement at the time. But then, of course, when you isolate those words, we will win, and put them in quotation marks, it looks like this Messier-type guarantee, which it never really was from him. I think it was different back in the day when Messier said it the way he did. But it is being honest and it is being bold, and he did double down, and he was asked about it yesterday and said, yeah, after a night to sleep on it, I feel even more confident. So he's a confident player. You know, he must have done, like Struds, he probably did 20 minutes in the scrum today. I could not believe how long he sat there and talked for today. A lot of the Montreal media had come to town, and so a lot of them were doing their PK Subban stuff today. But it's PK Subban on the stage. It is the Stanley Cup final, and he's going to stand out a little bit on this stage because he is boisterous.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. The Rashog Report brought to you by Auto City Edmonton. Ryan is in Nashville, where game three will be tomorrow night between the Penguins and Predators. Now that you've been in Nashville for a few days, Ryan, what's the vibe like? Are people there talking? Like, can you tell the Predators are in the Stanley Cup final walking around Nashville?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we're right downtown here, so the arena's there. You know, the main drag is there with all of the bars and the live music and everything, and there's Predator stuff everywhere. Yeah, people are super pumped in this town for what's going on. Everywhere you go, there's Predators jerseys. Every establishment you go into, there's Predators talk. It's everywhere. And I'm really anxious to see it because from what we're hearing, it's different than what you would, I mean, like Strudgy played, you know, in Chicago and some of those stadiums, you know, MSG, those places that were the kind of these legendary type places to play. And they're talking about this environment in Nashville and at Bridgestone as being different than what anybody's seen before. I'm very interested to see in person what it actually feels like. And I've covered a lot of different playoff series in a lot of different places. And but from what I hear, this will be unique.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty amazing place. I've never been there for a playoff game, but I mean, you're looking at it and knowing that building, knowing the fans, it's absolutely dynamic. You know, digging a little deeper into this Nashville Predators team now, let's assume that Pecorini gets, going and everything's fine, and let's assume they can be a little more patient in game. They still have to get some goal scoring. You know, who does that fall on? Is it with the Forsbergs of the world and the Neils, or is it, you know, let's look down the third and fourth line to get some junk in front of the net?
Well, honestly, it's probably, I mean, don't take anything, first of all. But I think you have to sure. You have to look to the guys whose job it is to do that, right? I think if you're being fair, I mean, are you really looking at Vern Fiddler saying, look, you got to find a way to come through here? I mean, sure. Is that fair? So, like, I mean, Sissons has been playing quite a bit above his head. He's had some good performances and put up some offense for them. But is it fair to rely on him every night? I mean, he's stepping in. They've got some tough injuries to good offensive players. Forsberg, absolutely, they have to look to. Neil, they have to look to. Mike Fisher is, I mean, he's a veteran player. He's been through these battles before, but he's kind of looking his age a little bit to me anyways. He'll do what he can. But, yeah, guys, I mean, Yarncroc has been a good offensive player for them at times. They have some guys that can chip in and contribute. But I think you have to look at the ones who are expected. And James Neal, to me, is a guy that's, I mean, he's been a good goal scorer in this league for a long time. They need him to find that touch and not take bad penalties and to find that touch.
Well, you know, it's funny because, I always look at shots. I like to see who's getting shots at the net. And mm-hmm. you know, like Forsberg had 5 last game. You know, Neil, I believe he banged out 7. Yarncroc had 2. You know, even Fisher had 5. So they're getting looks at the net. You know, I don't think this defense for the Predators is thrown down the iron curtain. So they are getting looks, but is it second effort? Is it type of shots? Because obviously they're getting there. They're just not getting it done. And I think that is a reason for optimism as well, if you're in the Nashville room.
Well, how much do you have to change? Like,
exactly.
That was one of the questions I was asking a few of their players today.
Sure.
Here you are, you're devastated down 2, or trying not to be devastated down 2-0 in the series, yet feel, I mean, they feel like they've played 5.5 good periods of hockey in this series. That basically it's been in total maybe half a period where Pittsburgh got the better of them and where the wheels came off for them. So how deep do the changes need to go? How much do they need to switch? I mean, they're carrying the bulk of the play for most of the games. The shot attempts are in their favor. Although Sullivan did talk about shot attempts today and said that, you know, by their numbers, they spent the bulk of the game in the offensive zone, or more of the game in the offensive zone, yet had more shot attempts against. So sometimes those numbers can be a little bit skewed, but I just don't think that there's wholesale changes that were needed. Like today at practice, they were working on just a couple of plays that look like, they kind of look like set plays 5-on-5, where a little bit of misdirection with the idea of getting the puck back to the point with a bit of misdirection. And I mean, they love to run their offense through their point and have those guys, those skilled defensemen with the puck on their sticks, getting pucks through. And they worked on a couple of things today that I think they are going to try and put more of a focus on that in Game 3.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. He's in Nashville for Game 3. Nick Bonino of the Penguins is listed as day-to-day. He'll be a game-time decision. It looks like Carl Hagelin...
in a boot today.
Yeah, so...
Sorry to interrupt you, but he was in a boot today when they showed up at the hotel.
So it looks like Carl Hagelin may slide in for him. How much of a drop-off is that? I know they play different positions, but how much of a drop-off is it from Hagelin to Bonino?
Yeah, well, I mean... Yeah, I mean, Bonino, he's been around, and he... when he's good, he can legit contribute. I mean, it is a drop-off, but I think at the same time, when you have the guys going that are going for the Penguins, I mean, they're getting contributions from outside, just Malkin and Crosby. So I don't think this is going to cripple them by any stretch. They've been getting lots of good yeoman's work from some guys that are rookies and younger guys. And really, Crosby has yet to check into the series in a big way offensively here. So I think the Penguins are going to be they'll be fine. I mean, it's a bit of a dent for them, but I don't view it as a huge issue.
You know, everyone's talking about this lack of sexy, you know, star power on the back end for Pittsburgh without Chris Letang, who has, you know, very good skills and a sick head of hair. This guy is, you know, kind of checks off a lot of boxes. But do you think going forward, I mean, I'm not talking about Ron Haynes or Ian Cole or even Daly at this point in his career, but do you think that, you know, in 2 or 3 years, we'll be talking about Amada, a Justin Schultz, I can't believe I'm just saying that, or Dumoulin as, you know, really good, solid, you know, maybe not superstar defenseman, but really good NHL defenseman. And we will look back and say, oh, boy, that was just kind of their coming out party.
Or are they kind of what they are? And what they are is good enough to take that group of forwards to the playoffs. I don't know. I don't know. I'm sort of finishing the thought for you. Like, are they? I don't know that there's going to be. I mean, Mata is a decent. Like, he's a good young defenseman. Schultz is coming to his own in the last year and a bit, as we know. You know, Hainsey's towards the end of it. He's getting up there in age. I don't think we're going to reflect back on this decor and go, man, nobody knew just how good that decor was. I think we're similarly to the way we look back on the Carolina decor that beat the Oilers, right? Like, no real stars among them. No super number one, obvious world-class defenseman, but just a lunch bucket brigade of guys that had a mix of skill, size, shutdown ability, a little bit of youth. Like, I don't think that this is a world-class decor that we just don't appreciate enough because we don't know them well enough. We know these players. I think it just kind of tells the tale that you don't necessarily have to have. I've been saying it on these shows for years about every team that wins the Cup, most of them all have that true number one world-class defenseman. Well, the Penguins are proving here that they can actually get it done without one.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You look, I love looking at the ice time, and none of them played 20 minutes. One guy, but no one played less than just about 18. I mean, it's almost like the defenseman coach just opens the door and says, okay, next person, just go ahead, and then we get a power play. It changes up. But, you know, it's interesting that Ole Mata, when I first saw him play, I thought he was going to be a really good player. And, you know, I don't get to see him every night, but I watch him quite a bit. But that goal that he let Pontus Aberg score, where he literally walked right around him, and he tried stick checking him not once, not twice, but three times instead of just taking the body. Like, oh, that was a really hard one for me to swallow. And, you know, I know you can't judge a player on one play, but that is he does love to stick check rather than using a pretty thick body to get in front of guys.
Mm-hmm. See, and so if you're the Nashville Predators, how do you take advantage of this perceived weakness in the Pittsburgh blue line, right? How do you take advantage of that? Well, they just don't really have the high-end forwards or the star players who in a matchup, like, I guess my point is, if you're running the Pittsburgh D side of the bench, Stretti, are you afraid of any matchup? Like, are you really stressed out about any one of those pairings getting caught out there against any one of those Predators lines?
And I think it's actually a good matchup for Pittsburgh in that it is Nashville without our Ryan Johansson in that lineup. I mean, it does, because if it's Johansson there and that full line, you know, probably you've got the two big boys on the wing, that changes. But they are spread out, so you're like, well, we'll just throw these guys out there and see what happens.
I just don't think they're afraid
of
whatever matchups come their way. It allows them all to be in the game. It allows them all to be part of it. It allows them to all stay in the game. And I think, like, the point you made about the ice time right there, I mean, you got six guys engaged. Nobody's having to carry a load that they normally wouldn't be able to. Nobody's being asked to do something that they wouldn't normally be able to do. Where you can expose teams in their weak areas is if you can force them to ask something of players that they wouldn't normally be able to do. If you can, for whatever reason, put them in an uncomfortable position, right? If you can get a Matt Benning into the 22, 23, 24 minutes a night against some real high-end world-class forwards, right? Now you've carved out an advantage. But the Predator forwards just don't really have the ability to make the Penguins D uncomfortable. Right. And I think maybe that's why we're starting to see, or why we've seen the Predators D get a little over-anxious. I mean, the skill in their team is on their back end, and you're seeing the D being pretty aggressive, whether it's jumping in, whether it's pinching, whether it's not staying patient, trying to get something going, because it's not coming from the forwards.
Ryan, I see that Ilya Brizgalov is at the game three for the Players Tribune. So have you run into your old buddy Brizgalov today?
Yeah, said a quick hello today. he's around. Like, he's been doing stuff. He's been doing some stuff for the Players Tribune, I think. And so he was down there today. It was a quick hello. I mean, it's a little cold. I think he still remembers the, what does it feel like to have a team pay you X number of dollars to not play for them question.
Yep.
when he arrived in Edmonton, I threw that one at him, and I got kind of the daggers at me. So, Strudge, were you around him when he came through?
Yeah, I wasn't playing for him then, but I couldn't believe they brought him in. I was like, what's going on? But I'll tell you what, you know what? I would kill for someone to have asked me that question.
No.
It feels Holy great, smoke. Man. It feels great. Thank you very much, yeah. Philly.
By a mile, he's the best paid media guy around.
Absolutely, God. Ryan. Thanks for joining us, man. Enjoy Nashville tonight. Enjoy game three tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Ryan Rashog from TSN. The